Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God, and we're going to talk about a number of different things. I sent out a quote from the Spirit of the Laws. Baron Montesquieu said many years ago, "A more certain way to attack religion is by favor, by the comforts of life, by the hope of wealth, not by what reminds one of it, but by what makes one forget it. Not by what makes one indignant, but by what makes men lukewarm. When other passions act on our souls, and those which religion inspires are silent, in the matter of changing religion, state favors are stronger than penalties." And that is true. When you try to herd mankind together in a common purpose of another man's ambitions, men will rebel, men will reject, men will fight against that. But if you entice them in with favors, gifts, gratuities, and benefits are the greatest destroyers of liberty. In the animal farm of the world, we are drawn into the pen by the free corn. And today, that corn is GMO. So, anyway, GMO meaning genetically modified organisms. The reality is that mankind is genetically modified spiritually and physically. We are being modified. Genetically modified organisms, which we call GMOs, are becoming pervasive. Corn is one of the... There's almost no corn products left in existence that are not genetically modified. And these modifications are actually poisoning mankind. They poison... We see it in the dairy industry, where you're getting as much as 15 to 45% of the dairy herds are becoming infertile because they are eating GMO corn. In India, whole herds have died from eating in fields where there was GMO cotton grown. Difficulties in digestion, gastrointestinal problems are on the increase in America, and it's probably directly related to GMO corn or soybeans that are pervasive in your diet, and you're not being able to do anything about it. They're outlawed in other countries in Europe, but America has actually made it against the law to tell people, to inform people, that they are eating genetically modified organisms that can actually cause... I mean, what they're doing is they're modifying these so that they develop natural resistance to bugs, natural resistance to herbicides, and they're chemically altering the product that you call corn, soybean, even cotton. Now they're doing wheat, rapeseed, and these are not adequately tested because there are millions, billions of dollars at stake, and the same people that work for Monsanto end up working for the government, supposedly policing what you are, you know, your health. But they don't really care. Why? Because they love the favor. They love their wages. They love the benefits. I know people who are working in jobs where they consider some of the things they do to be actually immoral, but they turn a blind eye to it because they don't want to lose their pension. They don't want to lose their benefits. And you know what happens after a short period of time? They don't think it's immoral anymore. They think it's okay. They think it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods. Because that's what we do. That's how we live. That's how we survive. To the point where they think, well, if I send my kids to public school or I take government welfare, that's not coveting my neighbor's goods. They owe it to me. Who owes it to you? Because the government isn't paying you. They're just taking away from your neighbor. That is the essence. All socialism is based on the idea that coveting your neighbor's goods, your neighbor's sweat, your neighbor's toil, the toil of your neighbor's wife, is good and okay. To desire those benefits, those favors, is okay, because we do it already. Because you do it already, your mind is turned upside down and you become silent, lukewarm. You know, there's a word. I didn't look this up before. Maybe I'll do it now as I'm sitting here. So you'll see me as slightly distracted as I try to peck away at my keyboard. But what does the Bible say about the lukewarm? Well, there's a quote in Revelation. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That is what he's telling you. And how do you become lukewarm? Favors of the state. Because the state offers no favors except what it takes from others. This is why Christ preached a kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. The government of God is at hand. Within your reach, seek it and seek its righteousness. That's the sum total of my ministry. Repent, turn around from what you've been doing, and start seeking the kingdom of God. Now, with 200-300 shows recorded and going out over the air almost every day on one radio station or another, I have to make that same short line message of interest every time I speak on the radio. So I have to add some new aspect, some new quote, some new concept to this very thing. The reality is you do not realize how subject you are. People think, oh, I'll throw off the government, I'll get rid of ID, I'll become one of these ravens living in the cracks of society, hiding out, getting out of the system. And now I'm a free man. I'm a sovereign. Bullocks, as I heard an Englishman say the other day. That's not what's... You're not free. You're a product of your environment. You're a product of what you do. You are changed by what you think and the way you act, by the people you pay attention to. You are changed. You are mentally altered, spiritually altered. My daughter was going to become a massage therapist at one time. She was interested in that. She was very compassionate. She actually had the healing touch, where she could touch somebody and actually feel their pain where the injury is. And if you feel that pain with the Spirit of Christ in you, you're a healer. You will actually heal that individual. Now, you can heal them with your own energy, but you will be drained, because you're not an inexhaustible supply of energy. But that's how healing is taking place. It has to do with compassion. That you take on the burdens, the pain of someone else. Did you know that every time Christ healed somebody, he felt their pain? Yeah, didn't know that. Why? Because he doesn't complain about it. He's not a whiner. I'm sorry, he didn't tell you. But he's feeling their pain when he does this. He's giving up his life that they may have life more abundant. And the way it works in the universe is that he is given life more abundant, because he was willing to give it up. That's because the love of God was moving through him. That's an energy force. That's like white light. And it creates universes, and it heals the sick. But you have to touch that other person with that love of Christ, and not just your personal compassion. Because if you do it with just your personal compassion, you will be drained, and you will pick up some of the residue that is in them that has made them sick. And it can make you sick. It can spiritually constipate you, so that you become altered by those you touch, by those you are compassionate for. You are altered. You become like them, because you're not moving with the dominion of God through you. You're not moving with His love. That's how His dominion. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that they might be saved. You must give up your life with that same love. Because if you don't, the world will change you. It will mix the spirit of the world with your spirit. And you will, like hot water and cold water mixing, become lukewarm. Now, in a very metaphoric, symbolic way, I just explained to you some of the meaning and systems of the universe. Now, can you transpose that into everything? GMOs, as we talked about. They cannot genetically modify organisms for your betterment, for the improvement of mankind. They cannot do it. It is impossible. Why? Because the spirit from which they are moving is one of greed. And it will take away the life of those who consume that product. Now, you can become immune to that poison. And you can actually turn the effects of their genetic modification around and go the other way. But you can't do it of yourself. You must draw near the kingdom of God. And by drawing near the righteousness of God. And you do that by sacrifice. You cannot eat of the favor of the state, because it's based in covetousness. Now, I didn't say you couldn't pay your taxes. I said eat of the favor. What is greater sin? To pay your taxes to a government that's gone wild and oppresses the people and represses the stranger in its midst? Or to eat of their table? Over and over again, the warning is, if you sit and eat with kings, rulers, men who exercise authority one over the other, put a knife to your own throat, for if you be a man of appetite, he serves deceitful meats. And now they're GMO meats. So you need to turn around from that and go another way. You need to go the way of righteousness. So if you cannot get the favor of the state, how do you get the favor of the church? Well, yeah, how do you get the benefit of the church? They were gathering together and rightly dividing the daily bread, the welfare, the ministration to the widows and orphans and needy of their society, in pure religion, unspotted by the world, unaffected by the constitutional orders and systems of governments of the world. So what's happened, and I'll do more about this in another program, but I have a quote here. It was attributed to a number of different people, but I believe it was Dr. Michael Elner who said it is, just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health. Lawyers destroy justice. Universities destroy knowledge. Governments destroy freedom. Major media destroys information, and religions destroy spirituality. And that's where we're at. And that's true. But now, what is religion? and I've done articles and recordings on this. Religion is how you fulfill your duty to God and your fellow man. That is the definition of religion 200 years ago. That is the definition of religion 2,000 years ago. But there's another definition floating around. Religion is what you think about God and your, not even your fellow man, just about a superior being. What you think. Religion has become what you think, what you believe, what you imagine in your own mind. That's not religion. That's the religion of the Pharisees, who were not doers of the word. As a matter of fact, what they were doing was making the word of God to none effect. Because their religion, which was condemned by Christ, was all about what they think. They did say what you do, but what they did was mindless rituals. They were not performing their duty to God and their fellow man. They were doing mindless rituals that made them feel justified. They went to church on a special day. And they read from Scripture. And they studied Scripture. But they never came to the knowledge of truth. They actually denied the power of God to care for them. So therefore, they had to go to the state for the favors, the free bread and circuses of Rome, the free bread of the temple of Herod, the benefits of Herod. They didn't want to get cast out of that temple. No more benefits. Their blind son was willing to profess Christ because he knew that he had been given sight. He now saw in more ways. You think that he only saw with his eyes now? No, now he saw with his spirit because he was receptive to Christ. And he professed that he didn't even know who Christ was, didn't know what he looked like. But he knows that I didn't see and now I see. Do you see? Or are you the blind leading the blind? Kind of spooky. We could be the blind leading the blind. Many would be deceived in the last days because of damnable heresies that creep into our eschatologies, in our homes, and led away. And we won't even know it. We won't even realize it. We are fooled by our own imaginations because we create Christ, an image of Christ, in our minds with what we are told. The image of Christ has been genetically modified in our minds. So we don't see Christ as he really is. Oh, we put labels on it, Son of God, and the Christ and all these things. But what does that mean? What does that really mean? What does the righteousness of God really look like? It certainly doesn't look like people coveting their neighbor's goods or sending men to their neighbor's house to force them to contribute to their welfare. But we have come to think that's okay. It's not. It's a sin. It's against Christ. It's anti-Christ. And therefore anti-Jesus. Anti-Yeshua, anti-Yah. Because it's not according to his character. You have to come together not to be fed, but to feed others. Not to be given to, but to give to others, because that is the nature of Christ. Sacrifice is another word for drawing near. God gives up his life that ye may have life. And you must give up your life so that others have life. In order for the life of God, the love of God, to live in you. You can begin to reverse this process. Back in the early days of America, it said as long as you look to government to solve your problems, you will always suffer tyranny. If you look to the government of God to solve your problems, and seek to live by faith, hope, and charity, you know what you will suffer? You will suffer God's love. That's right. That's the wages of repentance, is God's love. The wages of sin is death. So the wages of righteousness is life. But you don't live in a righteous world. You live in a covetous world. And you've been made merchandise. And now it's time to turn around and go the other way. So we've had some shows on goats and sheep. And we have a little bit of an article on that. We're going to go back to that subject. But the last shows that we had was on diverse lusts. And that's always kind of a come on. Diverse lusts. You mention lust and people start thinking it's kind of like why I have a picture of Lady Godiva on the front of the Free Church Report. You know, everybody wants to know what is that? He puts the picture of Lady Godiva on the church report? Well, you have to go see the book. Let's find out why I did that and read about the cover. So, and some of you will be a little disappointed when you see the picture, but probably not for the reasons you think. So anyway, I'm baiting and switching you again, but the reality is that's a picture of Lady Godiva on the cover of the Free Church Report. And you can find that at hisholychurch.org, and you can read it there for free if you just go search for it a little bit, because that's one of our policies here, is search and you shall find, seek and you shall find. But anyway, in this diverse lust topic, which you can read at Preparing You, we've covered a couple of the sections. Saved by grace and not by law. Saved believers. What's a saved believer? Because people talk about, you know, saved believers. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man desire thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. You see the word believers there. There's only two places the word believer even shows up in the whole Bible. It's amazing. The Bible is all about religion, supposedly, but the word religion only shows up 5 times in the whole Bible. 4 times in a bad sense. The Bible, talking about government, words representing government show up hundreds of times in the Bible. Bible's about government. It is about religion, too, but you have to, which religion? The definition where it's what you think about God? Or the definition where religion is how you provide and manifest your duty to God and your fellow man? That's religion. In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. That's examples of the believers in all those different aspects. So a believer, if he's really a believer, he's going to be demonstrating in his conversation, which is his conduct, and in charity, which is the word love, and in the spirit, and in faith, and in purity, which purity has to do with piousness, which has to do with duty. If he's not a believer, he will not manifest this character of Christ in all those things. So people want to know what value of works is. Works tells us whether you really believe or not. What you're doing tells us whether you really believe or not. And so we're going to look at that so you can find out, are you really a believer? That's important. And we'll do that when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. After this brief break.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realized that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
So, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom, and we're talking about what our believer was. What were the believers doing? Now, you have to remember, these believers back then were cast out of the welfare system that was operated through temples like the Temple of Saturn, the Temple in Jerusalem that Herod built, Temple of Roma that Herod built, and all these temples. These were the places where you went for your welfare. Even Ephesus was an underwriter of welfare systems throughout the Roman Empire. And in order to be members, you had to have birth registration, which they had. And that was kept at the Bureau of Vital Statistics, which they called the Temple of Saturn. So all this was going on, and many of you who have listened before have heard these things before. But anybody listening knew, this is completely foreign. They don't have those pieces of the puzzle, because if you had those pieces of the puzzle of what the early believers were actually doing, you would know something about Christianity modern Christians are completely oblivious to. And they wanted to keep you oblivious to them, which is why they suppress a lot of the information that they're finding out by uncovering historical artifacts of those times, like the Dead Sea Scrolls. That was a huge effort to keep the Dead Sea Scrolls from major academia. Nowhere else were they doing this. But they did it with the Dead Sea Scrolls because it didn't take very long and they were finding out, oh my gosh, they were doing something different than what we're thinking. They knew religion was taking care of the needy of their society. Why? Because if you take care of the needy of your society, the truly needy, in a righteous way, in a way that strengthens them, it strengthens you. Because you can only do that with the Spirit of Christ, who did not give to everybody who asked, but gave to everybody who asked humbly, who were willing to bow down and be servants, to wash feet, to care for one another, because they were willing to lay down their life so that they would have life more abundant. But they knew they had to do this because that was part of that, and easily done if you care about others as much as you care about yourself. If you care about yourself more, it gets really hard to do that. Even if it's just 51% more, you will find yourself balking at sacrifice. And your family will reject you and everything because you're sacrificing. And you can resist that evil or not. And move ahead at what the Spirit is laying on your heart at the moment and do that. That's repentance, because see, that's not the world. What world wants you to do, what it wants you to do. It wants to control you by its nature, because it does not love you as much as it loves itself. It's another spirit. When what we call the devil, Satan, Lucifer, separated himself from the kingdom of heaven, and a third of all those who followed him broke away, they broke away without some of the characteristics of heaven, of God. They were missing some of those characteristics. They were incomplete. They were not pure white light. They were not the essence of God. They were something less. And we call that evil. Because something less will become, it's like part of the genetic code got into you. And when that happens, you're not going to be the same. You're going to be something less than what you should be. You were made in the image of God, and now you've been remade in another image. And so you are not compatible with God, because all the pieces don't fit together. And because of that, viruses can get into you and connect with you. Viruses don't reproduce themselves. They require you to reproduce them. And this is what evil doesn't reproduce itself. Evil requires you to reproduce it, so it wants to affect your genetically. That's what a virus does. It genetically modifies you. It uses some of your genetic connections for its purposes. This is how evil works. And it does this by the way in which you work upon the earth, the way you expend your life, the kind of fruit you bear. If you operate by covetousness, you will be changed spiritually. So anyway, in this article on diverse lusts, we talk about this required outward evidence of belief is consistent with the teachings of Christ, who says we are to be doers of the word. And I have a footnote there with all kinds of quotes about being a doer. And we've gone over that before. They must bear fruits of repentance. We have the quotes there in footnotes where he talks about you have to bear fruits of repentance. James insists upon works, and we have quotes where he does this. Peter is talking about not coveting or you'll be made merchandise, brought back in and entangled in the elements of the world. And we give you quotes on that. And you will even curse your children with debt, thinking that it's owed to you, because you really think about yourself more than others. You don't even think about your own children and grandchildren, and you will keep pushing them into debt rather than turning around and seeking the kingdom of God. Even if you turn around and seek the kingdom of God, which is operating a welfare system based on faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty that provides you with the benefits, the daily ministration for the needy through love, you won't turn around and do that. You're going to keep looking for the favor of the state, the benefits of the state, even though you know they are men who call themselves benefactors but are not, because they actually just exercise authority over others to take from others, including your children and your grandchildren to come, to pay for your welfare today, because the system is in debt. See, it's not even the people now that they're forcing to pay that are going to pay for your welfare, because it's not enough, because they're in debt. There's one purse. As we know, the Bible tells us one purse runs certain debt. In other words, if the government is operating in the red, Social Security is in the red. They always try to tell you, well, Social Security has enough to cover everything. It doesn't, because the Supreme Court has ruled over and over again, it's one common fund. So even Paul talks about this in great detail. So people, a lot of times, they want to separate Paul from Christ and say that he is something else other than, you know, that he's got a different gospel other than Christ. And that's insane. Anybody who tells you that, they're insane. They're crazy. And they have been driven crazy because they have sought the favors of the state, because they did not operate with the love of Christ. They loved the image of Christ in their minds, but it was a genetically modified image of Christ in their minds, modified by these damnable heresies that have crept into Christianity and fooled foolish men and women into believing a lie. You know, and I mentioned, it says, and through covetous with feigned words they will make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. They're damned. They're back in the bondage again, entangled again in the world, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, cannot cease from that covetousness. They don't even want to think of it as good. They say, how am I coveting? I paid in. Now they have to pay me. Yeah, but you paid in and lost the money. It's all gone. You went the ways of the common purse that the Bible tells us runs towards death. You had an appetite for benefits and you didn't put a knife to your throat. You signed up. By beguiling unstable souls and hearts, they have exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children. Right there, New Testament. Cursed children. Doing that today. Cursing your children with debt. It isn't Congress's upping the debt ceiling that's the problem. It's the fact that you're a part of the problem, because you still want your benefits even though they're broke. So anyway, we go on to what did Paul say about this? Paul says in Acts 20:33, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. He's not requiring anybody to pay for him, his way. In Romans 1:16, we see, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. But you have to have the fruits of that belief. You have to have the works of that belief if you really believe, and you would. I mean, it's not a big deal. To the Jew first, he says, and also to the Greek. Now, of course, he says to the Jew first and also to the Greek, because it started with the Jews. And he's talking to the Romans about this dispute. Should we follow the Jews or should we follow the Greek ways? We should be following Christ. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, not by force, not by forcing the contributions of their neighbor, but by faith. This is the gospel he preached first. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Manifest in them! For God hath showed it unto them, that they should not covet. Thy neighbor's gold and silver, thy neighbor's Federal Reserve notes, thy neighbor's whatever it is. Don't be demanding that your neighbor pay for your child's education. Don't be demanding that your neighbor pay for your health care. Don't be demanding that your children and grandchildren go into debt so that you can have welfare today, even though you paid in. You see, when you paid in to the kingdom, it is a burnt offering. You give it up. You cast your bread upon the waters. These principles are repeated over and over again because they have a spiritual significance if you don't do it that way. You see, if you help people with your personal love and not the true love of God, you will weaken the poor, and they will weaken you. They will get into you. They will get under your skin. And they will alter you genetically, spiritually. That's why there's so much cancer, by the way. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, dunamis is the Greek word there, power, and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You should realize that everything that is going wrong in society today is the result of people following not the ways of Christ, but the ways of Cain and Nimrod and Babylon. And though you go to your churches and you sing, you have not, the Pharisees went to their synagogues, but they did not know Christ because they did not know Moses. They did not know what Moses was doing, and yet you think you know what Moses was doing because you asked the Pharisees. Amazing. Dunamis, power. There's lots of words translated into power in the Bible. Dunamis is the one having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. That's the ability to sustain your society with faith, hope, and charity. I have had people in church tell me, oh, well, we can't provide all the welfare for the people. It would bankrupt the church. So you have a form of godliness, but you deny the power that we could actually take care of the needy of our society without a gun, but by love only? If your society cannot take care of the needy of your society without using force, which John the Baptist preached against, then your society is not of Christ. It doesn't have the character or spirit of Christ. It has the spirit of Satan in it, and it will die. It will not have life more abundant. It will decay from inside out. And, you know, I once was in a house and they thought they might have termites. They never saw them, but they thought they might have termites. So I was going around checking, and it appeared that it was in the root cellar. And the root cellar was an above-ground root cellar built many, many years ago. This house is over 100 years old. It's a brick house for the most part, but it had an addition on the back that included this root cellar that was wood. And between the brick and the wood structure, there was poorly flashed roof, and so water was leaking down there, and it was leaking down in their sawdust insulation. That's what they had for insulation when the house was built. When I opened it up, the 2x4s only went down within about 3 to 4 feet of the floor because they were gone, completely gone. I knew we were going to have this problem because when I walked through a doorway, I touched the wood there. It was a 1x12 jam between the two buildings, and I touched it, and it moved. It was like paper thin. I found 6x6 beams that were just to the outside, that were just paper thin. Everything on the inside of the beam was gone. It had been turned to dust. They had eaten everything but the knots. And, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that this whole building was leaning against the brick building, it would have collapsed. But it was only in the Ritzler part that this would. But they just ate all the 2x4s away, and they were eating the sawdust because moisture was getting in there, and they were just eating it up. All that sawdust, you know, it was chips and stuff. And they were just eating it up. They didn't eat the bricks. The bricks are still there. But they were rotting out from the inside. This is what's happening in your society. It looks like wood on the outside, but it's only paper thin. Inside is full of corruption. And we hear, you know, Christ talking about whited sepulchres and full of dead men's bones. And that's what we have. The nation is run by zombies. Because we denied the power thereof. We don't think that we could actually love one another enough to take care of one another. Now, where does that start? It starts by gathering together, which is why we created this network on the web, because it's a cheap way to connect with everybody, but we're also connecting off the web for people who aren't on the web. We're not wanting to say you can only be saved if you're on the web, but we need those congregations of record. What we call core groups, congregations of recorded elders. The congregations, you can't even be a member because they're free assemblies. They're not corporations, they're not unincorporated associations. They're free assemblies, and they are that way because the offerings they give are freely given. Freely given and freely received back. We are finally, after preaching this for 30 years, really starting to make headway. Not nearly what we need, but we actually, you know, we're throwing the sand on the tracks and the train is actually moving. There's actual movement. There is life. The bones on the desert, dry bones, are actually jiggling and coming together, forming sinuous networks and structure. But it has to be done according to the Spirit, because we have to be remade back in the ways of Christ according to the breath of God. Those bones are breathed on and they're starting to see. Some of the people in our network see things that the world is just blind to. Intellectual, intelligent people, you could explain this and they will not get it because they will not receive the Spirit. They're full of knowledge, but they are not coming to the understanding and power of the Spirit. But the power is starting to move in some men because that power of God, that Godhead, is a real thing. Now the world's going to be pulling harder to get you, and they're already doing it. You have the mark of the beast. Almost everybody listening to this show has the mark of the beast already. You're not condemned to hell. That's not what the Bible says. And we'll do a whole show on that eventually. Maybe a series of shows. We have articles, detailed study of the Mark of the Beast on the website you can look up now. But they don't understand what that was. There's a mark of God that must be put in those who will receive it before the Mark of the Beast really takes hold. But it's taking hold as we speak in both realms. And it's kind of like your Tolkien's Two Towers, you know, where you got seven guys standing against 7,000 orcs and goblins, you know. But that's the way it works. God wins his wars with David's little guys, who are not really the underdogs, because they have a secret weapon, which is the love of God. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. This is where we are today. And that's preceded by, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. They thought, oh, we believe in Jesus. And their foolish hearts were darkened. They couldn't see anymore. And they couldn't see anymore because they were willing to covet their neighbor's goods, violate the commandments. And they invented semi-logical reasons why it was okay. But it's not okay. Just like they think that genetically modifying corn and soybeans and cotton is okay. But it is actually destroying you physically. But that's only coming about because you're already being destroyed spiritually. Because you're not seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You're seeking the favor of the state, who provides you with favor by taking from your neighbor and your neighbor's children and grandchildren. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made of corruptible man. That's what you have, is an image of God taught to you in your churches. That is not the true image. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature that they created more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For that cause God gave them up unto affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Women were not using themselves as they were naturally meant to be. They prostituted themselves. They do it in the imagery, they do it in reality, and to the point where now you even have women laying with women, not just men laying with men. But he goes on to say, and likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. God gave them up unto vile affections. Why? Because they were worshiping the creation of their own hands, including governments, instead of God. They didn't believe in the power that God could provide them with the welfare that they needed, the protection that they needed. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not, and he says, convenient. And we can go into that another time as to what that means. But that's Paul. He's telling you what's going to happen. It's happening. It's already here. Now it is time to repent, to turn around. And when we return to Keys of the Kingdom next time, we'll tell you how to do some of that turning around. And what Paul says, which is what Christ said, which is what Moses said, which is what Abraham said. Till then, may peace be with you and may God grow in your heart.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.